how does crowdfunding work in principle for an organisation like Kiva? And how might that differ to some of the more popular sites such as GoFundMe?
Well, they're all fairly the same in principle. Kiva is mainly for debt, so anyone around the world can go onto the Kiva website and you can make a loan of $25 or more, and it's done via PayPal. And when you make that loan, you select where you would like that loan to go. And they have entrepreneurs from all over the developed and mainly the developing countries around the world. You could do that into someone who's interested in agriculture or someone that has a small shop perhaps, or someone that's doing dressmaking or textiles development. So a huge range of entrepreneurs are on the Kiva site, and they might be looking for, say, $1,000 of funding, and people all around the world then chip in $25 or more to fund that loan. That then gets repaid to you over a period of 6 months or 12 months, depending on the conditions.
Okay.
And so, then you can relend it.
Okay. So if I understand it, it's kind of, it's almost like philanthropy meets investment in a sense.
That's right. This is part of the larger impact investing market, I would say, that's emerging. So the main thing is, instead of just making a once-off $25 donation, that money then comes back to you in small increments. And the idea is that you can keep on relending to other entrepreneurs on the Kiva platform.
Okay. Now, my guest is UTS Business School member of their faculty, Dr. Danielle Logue. How has the entrepreneurial world changed since crowdfunding has been used to help with aid and development?
Well, what we're seeing is the entrepreneurial financing opportunities, I guess, spreading into the aid and development space. So entrepreneurs now all around the world, if you're in a developing or developed market, now have the opportunity to raise funds from the crowd. And because of the online platforms, it means that you don't just need to go to your local community or your local village or perhaps your state or province. You now have access to a crowd that is all around the world. And we think this is interesting for aid and development because it means that local entrepreneurs can now access perhaps their expat or diaspora communities as well for fundraising for their ventures.
Now, with Kiva in particular, I just wonder, are there any nations in particular that have some particularly interesting success stories?
We're seeing an emerging growth of platforms across the Philippines, across Vietnam as well, and they're having mixed success, I would say. The idea is that a lot of these crowdfunding platforms are cross-geographical borders, so you can access, say, Kiva, the example, from any particular country. We're seeing some local success in those, in Vietnam, as I mentioned, in particular. It's tough, though, when you're starting off in these platforms. You've got to be educating both the entrepreneurs and also the crowd. So we're having mixed responses in some countries because it's early days yet.
Okay. And are there any problems that Kiva is facing?
Well, Kiva's been one of the most successful. And as a model itself, and we looked into in our recent research the business models of the platforms, it still is reliant on philanthropic and donations itself to run Kiva. So we're suggesting to different stakeholders that are looking at setting up a platform that you've got to really think of the sustainability of your own model, whether that's taking in donations yourself or whether that's taking a small commission of all the transactions. It's an important thing to be mindful of.
All right, and you spoke about how Kiva works, particularly in the developing world. I wonder, in terms of not just delivering to individual entrepreneurs, but delivering projects as well, I understand Kiva has been able to do this. How has it gone about doing that?
Well, what we're seeing is a shift from just funding individual entrepreneurs to funding groups of entrepreneurs, to also then funding small businesses as well. So it's getting larger and larger, the amount of funding that you can access through these crowdfunding platforms. A lot of impact investors and a lot of the donors, organisations that are in aid and development are also looking at putting in matching loan fundings. Maybe it's $50,000, maybe it's $100,000, where a donor would put in $100,000 and then they ask the crowd to match that $100,000. So we're starting to get up to some serious cash here through these platforms.
Indeed, it does sound like there is a lot of money at play and on offer. I suppose at the other side of that is the other side of that coin is that there are presumably a great deal of projects that don't get up and don't actually reach their funding targets or even or perhaps they fall short or sometimes get nowhere close. How often does that occur, and just broadly across crowdfunding, and is Kiva any different in that regard, or is it suffering the same issues?
Well, the crowdfunding splits into two types of platforms. It's an all or nothing platform, or it's a keep what you raise. So all or nothing means if you say you need to raise $10,000, you must raise the $10,000 for any of that to come through. If you raise $9,500, that's not good enough. You don't get any of the funds. And a lot of people think this is a better model, because if you need $10,000 for your business to buy a piece of equipment, well, getting the $9,000 isn't actually going to help you perhaps develop or scale your particular business. The other models that are keep what you raise, we're often seeing they're being used for more donation-based platforms, or whether it's different levels of funding, different types of projects, maybe community fundraising, where you'd normally pass the hat around, they're going online to access a bigger crowd there.
And with these platforms, in terms of the entrepreneurs themselves, how do they actually get their ideas across to potential investors?
Yeah, this is becoming increasingly sophisticated. You can imagine now we've seen the growth in the number of platforms all around the world that you're now having to compete with other entrepreneurs. So a lot of the platforms are putting a lot of work into educating their entrepreneurs. You're now needing to have videos in particular, quite professionally made. It's getting quite sophisticated. You need to be constantly updating the crowd with how your project and your campaign is doing to really manage expectations there. So it's increasingly sophisticated, and that's something that we see is missing in the aid space, that we need to be able to fund the education programs for entrepreneurs right in the cities and also out to the regional areas, so they do have a chance at competing for the crowd's money.
Now, you're listening to SCR 107.3 on the Monday Daily. My guest is Dr. Danielle Logue. She's from the UTS Business School, and we've been speaking a little bit about Kiva, a crowdfunding website that looks at pairing up entrepreneurs to prospective investors in a kind of investment meets philanthropy model. Now, Dr. Danielle Logue is not actually directly involved with Kiva. However, I suppose, given that you're from a business background with the UTS Business School, it would be remiss of me not to ask, what would your advice be to anybody who's an upcoming entrepreneur or wanting to become a part of this crowdfunding space for a project that was to actually have a real meaningful outcome?
You've really got to think about what your business model is and what you need the funding for, whether you're best to have a loan through one of these platforms, whether you're looking for equity, so you're prepared to give up a share of your business in return to have some investors, or whether you're just looking at perhaps testing your new idea, whether you offer a new product and for a discounted rate, or whether you want to get some pre-sales through one of the platforms. All the platforms are doing different things, so it's important to look at what you're trying to achieve and choose the best platform based on that.
Danielle Logue, thank you very much for joining the Monday Daily.
Thank you very much.